Ramsay TV.
Well, I suppose I have to give Martin Sender some credit for 1,000 MCTV editions, or broadcasts, or shows, whatever. Even though he teaches the opposite of all of my pet teachings. Eternal Dormant, Free Will, the Trinity. You know, who cares about Mazel Tov television anyway?
No, that's not what it stands for.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Well, what does it stand for?
Martin Sender Television.
Listen, don't you get smart with me. Don't start anything with me, young man. Because if you start it, I can finish it.
Oh, that was just swell of the Christian God to give me a little bit of credit. It was begrudging. Didn't even know what MZ stood for, but anyway, I'll take what I can get from that false god. Ooh, he's not gonna like that. But this is Martin Sender, and in case you missed it, my sister Kelly forgot to send the email on Tuesday for the show 1000. She sent it today, a little belated, but that's okay. So in case you didn't see it, we're gonna link that again down here, show 1000. The Christian God is back. He insisted on taking the camera, and well, you will see how confused and decrepit and really sad he is. But this, the Christian God is this way, and if you follow it through to its logical conclusion, well, that's him. I want to show you a t-shirt I'm wearing thanks to Catherine Holmes of Australia. She came through again. Look at this. Australia, the outback. There's a kangaroo right there. Another kangaroo. No wallabies. I thought there'd be a wallaby here, but there's not. Thank you, Catherine, for sending me a care package. A bunch of snacks and good things for me to get fat. So I appreciate, Catherine, your love sending a care package. Like I said, anybody wants to send a care package, you can. I guess you have to write me for my address. I don't like to get my address out on the show. You understand why. The Christian God might find out where I live. I don't want that to happen. Oh, speaking of the Christian God, there was a hilarious outtake. I gotta show you this. The first time the Christian God went to sing Edelweiss, it was just too much to handle. Here's that clip. Get it up close. Ready?
Yep,
tell me when action. You're on. Are you on? Tons of fun there. All right, I want to tell you a tale here. I told this many years ago. Many of you probably don't remember, and many of you have never heard it. I was living in Colorado back in 2011, and near Colorado Springs, there's a little tourist town named Manitou Springs, and one of the attractions in Manitou Springs is something called the Incline. The Incline is an old railroad incline. I mean, it goes up the side of a mountain. The railroad's no longer there. Why anybody would build a railroad that goes almost straight up? I don't know. But anyway, it became something where people would exercise on. There was old railroad ties there. I mean, it's extremely strenuous. Like I said, it's almost straight up. It takes some, it's less than a mile, but it takes some people like an hour to do it. I mean, it's a heartbreaker. One day I was on the incline with the person I was with at the time, and I heard just behind me. I looked behind me. Some guy was running up the incline. And I said to the person with me, I said, "Here comes a freak." And this guy was running like a gazelle over these broken railroad ties. And as he went by, the person I was with said, "Hey, Matt, Oh, hey, Matt. Who's Matt? This guy just disappeared into the distance. I mean, he never stopped. It's like very few human beings can do that. I said, Matt, who's Matt? How'd you know this guy? She said, well, that's Matt Carpenter. You don't know Matt Carpenter? I said, no, who's Matt Carpenter? Well, he's one of the number one. He's up in the top five endurance athletes in the world. Matt Carpenter, every year, would win the Pikes Peak Marathon. A marathon is hard enough, 26.2 miles. The Pikes Peak Marathon has the competitors running up Pikes Peak, 14,100 feet, something like that, 14,000 feet, and then they come back down. I mean, it's a hideous marathon, but Matt Carpenter would win it every year, and even in his 30s, he would win it. Nobody could beat him. Now, on the flat, this guy was a maybe average marathoner, but when it comes to altitude and to inclines, this guy was unbeatable. He would compete in crazy marathons, like there was a Mount Everest marathon that was run, you know, not to the summit of Mount Everest, but around the environs of Mount Everest, where the altitude was sickening, you know, 20,000 feet probably. And I did research after I saw this gazelle going up the incline, and he had one of the top five VO2 max readings ever recorded. VO2 max is the test they do. Now they put that breathing thing on you, they put you on a treadmill, they see how much oxygen your blood can transport. And the top, he had like maybe the third highest ever recorded. I mean, this guy truly was a freak. He was a human anomaly, okay? And being an endurance athlete myself, I was quite impressed with that. So I think it was the next summer, I was in Manitou Springs again. I actually did this thing regularly. I didn't run it. You're lucky to walk up this thing. But come to find out, Matt Carpenter was working at an ice cream store. I guess he owns an ice cream store in Manitou Springs. So I went, and the first actual encounter I had with a man, I ordered an ice cream cone from Matt Carpenter. And I told him I had read of his exploits and I had the utmost respect for his athletic prowess, and he was appropriately appreciative of my comments. Then as I was walking away, I saw that Matt Carpenter was coming out of the ice cream place to sweep the sidewalk. And I said, I gotta get a look at this guy. This guy must have legs like Secretariat. I mean, this guy must be just rippling striations of muscle and tendons. Just, killer. Gotta have killer legs. All right, well, stupid me. I should have known, but I looked at this guy. His legs were spindly, like Bambi legs. Yes, I'm telling you this, Matt Carpenter, one of the top endurance athletes in the world, had Bambi legs. Then it hit me, of course. It's not the legs, man, it's the engine. The guy's legs just kept him moving. It was the engine, his heart. Same thing with Secretariat. After Secretariat died, there was a man of war, one of those great horses. I looked at the heart, and it was just like this beast of an organ, right? And it was the engine in the body. The body was average. The body was nothing. I have better looking legs than Matt Carpenter. But engine? The engine? The heart? The lungs? The blood? Huh. Forget about it. Matt Carpenter is an elite athlete because of God-given gifts. Now, spiritual analogy I'm going to draw. Yesterday, I told you that we are not comfortable in these bodies or on this earth because our realm is not inherent here. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. And so I use the analogy of an airliner taxiing down the taxiway, just rumbling and bumping and creaking. It's like it's not meant to be on the ground. It's not meant to be on the ground. Once it gets in the air, it's... So that's why you shouldn't be too discouraged about your body. You shouldn't be too discouraged about even maybe your where your mind goes sometimes. I know a lot of you get discouraged. I get discouraged. You get depressed. This is a tough walk. But one thing we have, you can look at our bodies, you can say, oh, these people are sick, they're weak, they're ridiculous. You can look at some of our thoughts even, some of our habits or whatever, and we don't look like anything. We look like Bambi legs. We're just walking Bambi legs, little sticks. But one thing we have is the engine, it's the heart. I'm gonna read a verse from Ephesians 1, 18, talking about the heart. I gotta wind up to this because it's such a great passage. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Paul to the Ephesians. Therefore I also, on hearing of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus, and that for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. Here it is. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened, for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the allotment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing in accord with the operation of the might of his strength. It goes on and on. It's hard to know where to stop here. But the point is, the eyes of your heart. Of course, now this is used, heart is used figuratively here. What is it a figure of? Well, the heart is the central part of the body. It's the engine. It's the thing that keeps you alive. Figuratively, it's, you might call it our essence. When Paul's making a spiritual analogy, which he's doing here, it's the essence of our apprehension, what we know. I talk a lot about knowledge, and it's so important. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive what is the expectation of his calling. All this is about perceiving what God has to say about us, perceiving the greatness of his power, the greatness of Christ's position at the right hand of God, and to perceive that we are going to be where he is, at the right hand of God. This is the engine that drives us up the inclines of this life. This is why you cannot look at your body and get any idea about who you are. You cannot look at some of your habits or some of your morose thoughts and get any idea about who you are. This is how you understand who you are. The eyes of your heart have been enlightened. The spiritual essence of what we have is the knowledge of our calling, what is our expectation, given us by God and Christ. That's the engine. I don't want you to look at anything else, because if you do, you're going to get discouraged. I looked at Matt Carpenter's legs. I said, what? Then it hit me. Of course, it's what's inside. What is inside of us is the most valuable thing you can have in this life. That is a realization, a knowledge of our expectation as members of the body of Christ.